Es kann sich nicht schon bei Chesra sagen, wenn wir hören, dass es sagt, dass es sagt, dass es sagt, dass es sagt, you're not allowed to soak barley on Pesach. If someone did so, if the grain split from the water, they're also. If they didn't split, they're mutter. Beis says, if the water caused the barley to begin expanding, he can soak them in vinegar, which will cause the reversal of the effects of the water and will prevent them from becoming chametz. Shmuel said, we do not pass on the Rabbi Yossi. Rav Chisda Nei Mar Mokva said, when the Braisa says split, it doesn't mean that they actually split. They need to actually split in order to be also. It means that if it's been affected by the water enough, so that if they were now placed on a wine bottle, it would split from the fumes of the wine, it's also. Shmuel says, when the Braisa says split, it means the barley had actually split. Rabbi said, a person who's a Baal Nefesh should not soak barley on Pesach. Remember, the Braisa said no one's allowed to do so, not just not Baal Nefesh. Rabbi meant that a Baal Nefesh shouldn't even soak wheat, which is harder than barley, and therefore more difficult to make chametz on Pesach, making chametz, still even a Baal Nefesh shouldn't even do that. Rabbi Nachman said that you're allowed to soak wheat on Pesach, which because that helps create a higher grade of flour, which can then be used for matzah, because we find that Rav Huna and Rav Bar Oven would taka soak their wheat on Pesach. Rav says that one may not soak wheat on Pesach. The Braisa said you're not allowed to soak barley, which is mashmi, you're allowed to soak wheat. Remember, says the Braisa is teaching that not only may one not soak wheat, which has ridges, which can trap the water and then therefore lead it to becoming chametz, rather one may not even soak barley, which is smooth. Rabbi retracted his view and held that one may soak wheat on Pesach based on the Braisa. The Braisa said, though, you're allowed to use white matzah on Pesach. White matzah can only be made from flour that was done by soaking the wheat. We see that it must be mutter. Maria Papa asked Rava, Braisa says that kemach, which is regular flour, and soilas, which is fine flour, of the village people are not subject to tumah. Presumably this is because the wheat and flour have not touched water. We see that fine flour can be made without soaking. Maria says, Allah of the Braisa is referring only to the regular flour, not to the soilas, not to the fine flour. After Rava left, Rav Papa said, I should have asked him from the fact that Shmuel said that the grains used for a carb mincha may not be soaked, and yet the Torah refers to it as soilas. I could have asked him from over there. Rava later said it's actually a mitzvah to soak the grains used for the matzah. The pasuk says, Shmartim is hamatzah. If they're not soaked, at what point do they have to be watched and guarded from becoming chametz? It must be that there's a mitzvah to have them soaked first, so you should have to guard them. Because it can't mean that the mitzvah is that they should be guarded from after the kneading, because Rav Huna says, Dov a goy may be eaten on Pesach, but one must eat a kezias of matzah that was made for the sake of the mitzvah, in addition to eating that of the goy, the matzah of the goy. Now, presumably, the problem with the goy's dough is that although it was guarded throughout the baking process, it was not guarded during a soaking process. We therefore see that the soaking is part of the mitzvah. The Gemara says, it could be that soaking is not a mitzvah. The problem with the goy's dough is that it's not washed from the time that the water hit the flour. Rava did not change his view, and therefore, he would even tell the field workers to handle the grain with the intent that it was being done for the mitzvah of matzah. There was a ship that was carrying wheat that sunk before Pesach, and Rava allowed any salvaged wheat to be sold to Goyim out of concern that it may have been chametz. Rabbi Bar Lavoy asked, we should be concerned that the Goy will sell it to a Yid who doesn't know that the wheat was in the water, the same way we don't allow clothing of unnoticeable Klayim to be sold to a Goy, because maybe we're afraid that maybe he doesn't turn around and sell it to a Yid. Rava then said, it may be sold one kav at a time to Yidin, so that it will not be get used on Pesach. I mean, you have to sell little pieces, so that a little group, so that it can be used before Pesach. Braisa says, one may not add flour to a pot cooking on the fire on Pesach. If one wants to, he should put in the flour, and immediately after, he should put in vinegar, which quickens the cooking process and makes sure that the flour is fully cooked before it can become chametz. Others say, he may even first put in the vinegar, and then afterwards pour in the flour. The others, the Acherim, is Rabbi Yehuda, who says that one may not put spices into a hot dish containing vinegar on Shabbos, because that causes the spices to get cooked, even though the vinegar was there before the spices were put in. Ula said, no matter what the order, it may not be done. We want to stay far away from the possibility of chametz. Our papa allowed the bakers of the Reish Galusa to put flour of grain dried in an oven into a cooking pot. Rava said, we can't allow this when being done by slaves who are not concerned about chametz. How do you allow this? Others say that Rava himself would add such flour to a pot. Zok the Mishnah, you're not allowed to add flour to a dip containing vinegar or to mustard. If one did so, he should eat it immediately. Rav Meir says it's also to be eaten at all. One may not cook the carbon Pesach in any liquids, including fruit juices. However, one may smear the meat with them after it's been roasted. And one may not, and also one may dip the meat into it when he's eating. That's also not a problem. The water used by a baker to cool his hands, and therefore it always has some dough in it, must be poured out because it becomes chametz. Zakhti Gemara Kvahana said, the machlokes between the Tanakam and Rameh is only regarding the case where the flour was placed into mustard. However, when placed into the vinegar dip, all agree that it must be burned and not eaten, and Abraisa says like this is all, as well. Rav Huna, the son of Yehuda, the name of Nachman, the name of Shmuel, said, the halacha follows the Tanakam. Rav Nachman Yitzchak asked Rav Huna the son of Rabbi Yehuda, did Shmuel say that only regarding mustard or even regarding vinegar dip? Meaning, does he say that there's no machlekas regarding the vinegar dip like Rav Kahana said or not? Rav Huna said, I do not agree with Rav Kahana's statement. Rav Ashi said it would seem that we should paskin like Rav Kahana because Shmuel said we don't paskin like Rabbi Yossi, who said that vinegar reverses the chametz process. It must mean that Shmuel says that vinegar does quicken the process. Mara says this is not a proof. It could be that Shmuel says that vinegar does not reverse or quicken the process. He may disagree with Kahana, but maybe that he says it doesn't reverse or quicken either of them.